I have to do it a third time. We're going to clear the room. No, I'm not. Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Job Growth, Energy, Affordability, Policy, and Finance Committee. Today is Tuesday, March 28th. The first order of business is approval of the minutes. Representative Rarick moves minutes from the March 27th meeting. Is there any corrections, changes, or additions? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The amendment minutes are adopted. Members, we have a floor session at 4:30, and the chair of the committee, upon the completion of the floor session, has to go to Ways and Means. So we have a choice. We can get this meeting done by 4:30, or you can all sit around and wait for me to come back from completing Ways and Means tonight. So it is my intent, in conferring with members of both parties, that we're going to get this bad boy done and get out of here at 4:30. So with that, the chair will move the DE2 amendment to conform to the research summary and get the bill in the form the author would like. Actually, I should start off by moving House File 2220 be recommended to 2209 be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Ways and Means, and I will move the DE2 amendment. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The DE2 amendment is adopted. The A37 amendment in your packet is the author's amendment. This conforms to the original intent, the most substantive change that I can point to for people to be aware of. Is on the top of line page 3 of the amendment. This changes the permissible uses for what would be in the new energy fund and the funds that result from that. It's more generally focused on rates and emissions as well as new technologies and is less prescriptive. In addition, in section 43, you'll see some involvement regarding unexpended grants that have been sitting in the RDF account. Unlike bonding bills or appropriations, the RDF funds do not sunset. And so that is the author's amendment. Is there any discussion to it? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Next. Representative Lehman to the A13 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was offering the A13 amendment, which would have deleted page 147, section 4. The author of that piece of the bill has asked me today to actually remove that language from the bill. So my amendment wouldn't be necessary.
Thank you. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The 813 amendment is adopted. Representative Mahoney, the A7 amendment.
Mr. Chair, this is my the original intent of the House File 1038, with the addition of putting in a provision that allows for lower income families to put solar on their roof rather than, how will I say this, drive around Lake Minnetonka. I see a lot of solar panels. Drive around Lake Family, I don't see all but one house. It does require royalties and patent sales of products developed under the energy fund. And then it goes back to define what energy storage, energy, let me get to it. Well, all the things that we had, energy storage, what type of devices, and it has in here that none of the money can be used for a nuclear power plant.
And Representative Mahoney, is it your intent to move the A40 amendment as an amendment to the A7 amendment?
The A40? I didn't think it was A40. Yeah, that's not... Actually, Mr. Chair, in the energy in the RDF, I'm not going to offer the 840 because the RDF has more than enough money in it to do this particular project.
Okay.
I think it has about $50 million left over unencumbered.
Okay, so just the A7 amendment then? President Mahoney?
Pardon?
It's just the A7 amendment, then. No amendments to it?
Just the A7 amendment, Mr. Chair.
So, Representative Mahoney and members, I would respectfully ask for a no vote on the A7 amendment. One of the purposes that we have here is I want to make sure that the committee is deliberating and that there's a competitive process for the additional appropriations, whether that's going to be through bill introductions, whether it's going to be through having an outside board do it. And this would kind of violate that. In addition to that, one thing, I have not heard anyone come into this committee, at least from a legislative standpoint, and justify that the six tiers of solar subsidies we have right now are not enough and we need more. So I would ask members for a no vote on that. Representative Mahoney, do you want to rebuttal before we vote?
Mr. Chair, I have actually heard people come in here and say that they do need to have the solar industry, I don't want to call it subsidized, but incentivized for a few more years. This actually takes the incentive that we have been doing, which has gone to, let's just say, a group of people that have more money than the people that I'm trying to address. And this turns that on its head and makes it more amenable for people who have less money by pairing it with the federal tax credit and ending it at the same time that the federal tax credit ends. So if you make 400% of poverty, above poverty, 400% of the federal poverty level, your subsidy pretty much goes away. If you make 375% of the federal poverty level, you get an 11% match to the 11% of the tax credit, the federal tax credit. If you make 200%, I'd have to look it up. I think it's 100% match to the federal tax credit. So what that means is that the teacher down the street from me that might want to do this, that's making $40,000 a year, would have the money to actually do solar on their roof in town. And I do believe that we need to incentivize solar and expand it, because it is part of the clean energy, although I would prefer it to be solar voltaic, solar thermal rather than solar voltaic. So, there you go, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A7 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. No. The motion does not prevail. The A7 amendment is not adopted. Representative Baker, the A26 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A26 amendment is regarding the small cell language that is under a lot of heartburn with some folks in the cities and the smaller municipalities that still want to have some right-of-way discussions. I've had numerous folks give me a caller from my area, utility companies and such, and they just don't think that we're quite ready. I think the author, the chief author of this, Chair Hoppe, was hoping for better understanding, better clarity amongst the two groups, because I want to make it clear that I think this technology is the newest, coolest thing coming. And I want to make sure that we, as policymakers, bring the right parties together, because it's a lot of right-of-way conversations, and I think we need to make sure that our municipalities are heard. And for that reason, Mr. Chair, I'm asking that we delete that small cell language at this time.
I'm trying to figure out which mic is having problems right now.
I don't have the...
There we go.
Okay.
Is
there any discussion to the 826 amendment? Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. I might have the same problem because I don't have one of those cushy things over mine either. But
I don't think the problem with you involves the cushy thing, though, Representative Thiessen.
So, Mr. Chair, I just think this is the wrong thing to do at this point, to take this language out, because it's not in the Senate language. If we take it out, there will be no further discussion of this issue going forward. The bill is not perfect, where the language is now, but if you take this language out, there's no incentive for anybody to negotiate with anybody. And I would also say, I think this legislature is pretty fully informed on this issue, and we should get rid of the stakeholder process right now and figure out as a legislature what the right result is. Stakeholders are great, but at some point they block progress. And so I would oppose the amendment.
Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I completely agree with Representative Thiessen. This is not the right direction. They've been talking about this last year. They've been talking about this year. And if we're going to fund broadband, you know, this is a great, like, the last thing we need to do is limit their options to how they can deliver it. And they've been working real hard, and if we take it out, the discussion's over. And I think this needs more discussion, and it's not necessarily done as it is. but it's something that would be just a terrible, terrible thing to do if we take it out right now.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 826 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. No.
Division.
Division's been called. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Chair sees enough votes to make a decision that the amendment prevails. Representative Baker. Excuse me, Representative Mahoney, the A-17 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A-17 amendment. What this does is just fulfill what I'm sure Representative Baker was too busy to get to. Rather than have the gas tax as a total of 46.9 cents per gallon on that on the sticker that is in this bill, this would break it down by federal and state taxes. So I mean, I get blamed for enough. I don't really want to get blamed for the feds, although they accuse me of being paid like a fed. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would ask for a yes vote.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mahoney, I think the intent is right. I actually gave this some thought, and I wish we had some time earlier to talk about this. And I would respectfully ask the committee to vote no on this, because I think what my bill does, it also already tells them that there's a federal tax and a state tax. As I read your amendment, Representative Mahoney, it just brings up the state tax. I think what's important here is the whole idea behind this transparency is that we want to make sure folks know when they put in, buy a gallon of gas, how much total excise tax is included in a gallon of gas. Your amendment just talks about the state tax, as I read it. So if I misread that wrong, Representative Mahoney, I'd like to see that, but that's the way I read the amendment. So I would ask for no vote for that reason.
Representative Mahoney, rebuttal?
Mr. Chair, Representative Baker, no, there is the state and the federal tax are in here. It just splits it to say that the feds tax is, 46, and the state 28.5, and it does have both state and federal. And if the staff, Mr. Eloff, wants to jump in here, I'll be happy for the help.
I think we don't need to go to staff. I think what you stated, Representative Mahoney, is correct, that you would delineate the tax based on state and
federal.
Representative Baker.
So, Mr. Chair, the both taxes would be on there. The total amount on this sticker would be the total federal and state tax combined?
That's how I read that.
Okay, I don't see the federal part of this in this, but in that case, I would support the amendment if it does include both in the total tax for federal and state, and I appreciate that awareness. Thank you. I'll support the amendment.
Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the A-17 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Say nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Thiessen, the A-32 amendment.
So, Mr. Chair, this amendment has to do with, it's really driven by some things that are happening in Washington, D.C. right now, where some of the proposals... How about that? There we go. There's proposals to eliminate some of the protections on the collection and dissemination of personal information by internet service providers and others without consumer approval. So this would bring it down to the if they're going to do that at the federal level, I think we should try to protect Minnesotans and their rights to have their privacy protected unless they choose to share that information with other people. And it uses kind of the connection is our ability to control our rights of way and other franchise agreements, those types of things. So this really is about protecting consumers' privacy, Minnesota consumers' privacy, and giving them control over their personal information.
And Representative Thiessen, I think you bring up a good point, especially in light of the federal legislation. I have received some communication about this. That's, people are worried about it, but I do think it merits further consideration. It's consistent with both our views on the small cell bill. So I'd say let's adopt this amendment. We can continue the conversation going forward, and I have it be an item that's discussed later. Representative Howe.
Mr. Chair, would this cause it to go to civil law?
Representative Howe, I don't believe so. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 832 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The 832 amendment is adopted. Representative Howe, the A3 amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair. In the A3 amendment, all this does is it is an amendment that adds current law right now. It says that anyone under 18 can provide a letter that allows them to, so they don't have to work between 11 and 5. What this does is extend that protection to allow anyone that's in high school, no matter what their age, to be able to submit a letter not to work between the hours of 11 and 5. So, and I did a little checking. If the student does not submit a letter, then there is no fine. Where there would be a fine or a penalty to the business would be if the student had submitted a letter and they were still scheduled to work. So that is what, so, you know, the fear of scheduling someone and they didn't submit a letter and getting caught and getting fined $1,000 is a red herring, because really, unless the student had submitted a letter that says they didn't want to work between 11 and 5, then there would be no penalty. So all this does is extend that protection to any high school student. And myself, having my youngest son graduated when he was 19, I wouldn't want him working at 3 o'clock in the morning or at 1:30 in the morning when all the bars are letting out. So that's the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Representative Henderson. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there any further discussion? Representative Babian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I understand what we're trying to accomplish here, but what I'm concerned about is that in my part of the state where we got the tourist season started, we may need a little extra help at the local convenience store or something like that late at night. And what I'm concerned about is that the unintended consequence of this is going to result in some high school students losing their jobs. So I'll be voting no on this amendment.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of adoption of the A3 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Aye.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please raise your hand. All those opposed, please raise your hand. The motion does not prevail. Representative Baker, the A29 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, the A29 amendment is kind of a quick answer to this discussion we heard, I think, for the first time, correct me if I'm wrong, but last week we heard about Xcel Energy's rightful issues with the biomass plants up at the Laurentian project up on the Aaron Range. It also kind of brought into discussion the other two plants around Minnesota, I think the St. Paul District something, sorry, and also the Fiberman project out in Benson. My amendment really here today talks about just putting a delay on any action on the Benson plant from the biomass discussion and what that negotiation will look like for Benson. Benson is something that I was pretty involved with early on, trying to actually secure it back in our district in the Wilmer area, and we lost the bid to Benson. I just know that Benson put a lot of effort, energy, their city resources, their infrastructure to get this plant going. I'm not going to argue the fact that the biomass investment has not paid out from an energy standpoint like we had hoped. Back in the day, it was a good option, I think, and they were forced to sort of do some of these kind of things. One of my companies at home sells them an enormous amount of turkey manure because they burn turkey manure to make power. And they will need some time to rethink about how they're going to redo some of their manure applications and MPCAs, things that might have changed since then. So it just takes a little bit of time. So my request today, Mr. Chair and members, is just to the newest of the three has 11 years left on the contract, and we're just asking for a little time to get a plan together if that's going to be the case. And I'm asking for a 2-year window. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll I'll ask for support for the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Baker. Members, I would ask for a no vote on this amendment. What the current language in the bill does is it allows Xcel and the stakeholders to negotiate a power purchase agreement, a change in the power purchase agreement, and suspend that. That agreement is not binding in any way, shape, or form. It's voluntary. And so I would ask for a no vote on this. Representative Baker is exactly right. This has not worked. It's been very costly, but I'm hoping that as these negotiations go forward, the stakeholders recognize the importance of having the city of Benson and the local community at the table. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I agree with what both of you have said, but I'm close to the Benson area as well. And I think I would agree that moving a little more slowly on the Benson project would be in order, so I would support the Baker amendment.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. No. Motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Representative Vogel, the A6 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I was going through the budget books, I looked at the Housing Finance Agency and noticed that the cost of administrating the programs, the administration account in particular, as well as the compensation amounts have risen quite drastically over the last 3 years, actually, from 2014 to 2017. So what this amendment does is cap the cost of administration at the 2017 level as well as FTEs. And the hope is that the agencies that are acting underneath the Housing Finance Agency will then have more to disperse with what they're doing if we hold down the administrative cost of the administration account.
I think this is a good amendment, and it's one that we should carry forward in the conference committee. Representative Mahoney.
Well, Mr. Chair, a couple things here. I mean, this seems to be a theme of kind of poking the finger in the eye of the administration. The Housing Finance Agency is the only one that was not in your bill doing this already. So they should at least be able to come down and tell you that you're wrong and it's not a good idea and they don't support it, and then it just adds to the list of, I can't remember whether they had 8 or 12 things on their letter that said they didn't like about your bill. But in any event, the Housing Finance does a really, really good job. They've had a variety of recent cost increases, such as an upgrade to their IT. They have older employees, so maybe you want them to fire their or let go their older employees. But in any event, Mr. Chair, we had the other three agencies down here telling us, and we should at least give the Housing Finance Agency 45 seconds to tell you why they think you're wrong.
Well, Representative Mahoney, we're not taking public testimony today. This amendment has been posted for in excess of 24 hours, so certainly the department and other stakeholders had the opportunity to communicate to members, but we're not taking public testimony today. Is there any additional discussion? Representative Mahoney?
Mr. Chair, then I will repeat that, you know, this is, again, a poke in the eye at the governor and the way the governor has run this government. You're not allowing them, if you send over the deed program from the Department of Employment and Economic Development and their housing over to Housing Finance, and you give them nobody to run it, will you be okay if they don't spend the money?
Well, Representative Mahoney, again, what I would state is that I'm happy with the language in the A6 amendment. I think Representative Vogel's onto a good idea here, and it's something that I think is going to bring better value to the taxpayers and provide for more of a focus of frontline services for those dollars in frontline services as opposed to administrative costs.
Well, Mr. Chair, I will just finish here and I will be done. All you're doing is you're adding more work onto them, not giving the ability to actually oversee what you're asking them to do, and you're accusing them of incompetence, inability to run their agency, and I could go on, but I think there's probably the votes to put this on, which adds one more thing to the governor's reason to veto this bill.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A6 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Thiessen, the A14 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a bill I had to add language to the cost of living study to include retirement and long-term care savings. We have a big problem in the state with that. I know that the actual study is defunded in the bill, but the language remains, and so if that money ever comes back, I would like it to also include retirement savings, because, you know, it's just one of those things people should be including in their budgets, and we should be upfront about it. So I'd appreciate the inclusion.
And members, the language as is in the delete all amendment right now allows, this is voluntary for the department, they don't have to do it, but I think it's why it's happy to carry Representative Thiessen's provision into conference. So all those in favor of the A14 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The A14 amendment is adopted. Representative Thiessen, the A35 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, you've been very generous so far. I'm not sure it's going to extend to this one.
Take a chance.
But I did want to bring this amendment. Basically, members, this has to do with the RDF. And what it does is essentially reverts it back to the process that it initially started out with, which was Excel making recommendations being approved by the PUC. It keeps the concept of this Legislative Renewable Energy Council, but all but what that council would do is to review the proposals brought forward by Excel that have been kind of vetted by the PUC, and that council could vote to not fund some of those proposals with a three quarters of the membership vote. It would also limit the legislature's ability on the floor to change any of the use of those funds, require a two-thirds majority to do so. And the reason I'm bringing this, I just feel, you know, I'm here in my 15th year, and it seems to me over this time we have added more and more funds that are segregated out, and then the legislature grabs, and they just become funds for pork. And legislators, depending on who's in charge, legislators come in and say, I want to fund my pet project, I want to fund your pet project. And there's no, like, unifying vision of it. And it's not just here, you know, it's in many, many areas. So this is really an effort to try to get us back to setting large policy, so it keeps in some of the framework, including the framework, Mr. Chair, that you just added, about what this money could be spent on. And we'd have to have further discussion about that, I suppose. But I just think we're not necessarily in the best position to figure out what the best way to spend these funds are. We should set the broad policy parameters for how they get spent, and then let others who are more expert on it actually make those decisions within those parameters.
Representative Thiessen, I would ask and members, I would ask for a no vote on this. The reason being, I think actually the legislative majorities of 2011 and 2012 had it right when there was a statutory prohibition put on the legislature spending any of the money from the RDF. And that was put in place, it was enacted, and it lasted about a year before a new legislative majority came in and spent $175 million from the RDF. So the reality is the legislature has the authority to appropriate these funds. We cannot bind a future legislature to our decisions. In a perfect world, it would be structured in a way the legislature couldn't get at it, but we're not in a perfect world. And so what this would do is kind of continue the sort of the illusion of a two-track system where some people play by the rules and other people come to the legislature. And so for those reasons and others, I would ask for a no vote on the A35 amendment. Seeing no further, Representative Maquid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question. This could be for House Research. In the current bill and or with this amendment, does the legislature have to do the recommendations of this council?
I can answer the question for you, Mr. Eliff. No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So no matter what, amendment or no amendment, the legislature can do whatever it wants with the money regardless of the recommendations of this council.
Representative Maquid, when you say whatever it wants, there are certain things we cannot do. We cannot use them to buy lottery tickets. That's constitutionally prohibited. But I think in the context of your remark, yes, I think the answer to the question is yes.
Thank you.
Representative Maquid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think, you know, this perfect world you talk about where we, you know, in a perfect world, we wouldn't touch it, but the legislature does. Like, we are the legislature, so we can decide to not do that. And I'm so confused as to why we are, it just seems like we're moving it around, but, and not doing anything different with it than we did in previous years. And so what's in the bill and what's in this amendment, it just feels wrong still. I don't love that. So I just want to put that on the record.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think that if this amendment goes on, it would be much harder for us to do whatever we want. In fact, it would require super majorities to actually change the recommendations coming out of the folks that know best, I think, and are on the ground every day seeing what would work best to meet the purposes of that this fund was initially set up for. And it would leave the agreement that was made back in 1997 in some sense in place, which includes, for instance, Prairie Island being at the table in making some of these decisions. So anyway, I you're right that we can't necessarily bind future legislatures. I think the language as written, and maybe it needs to be changed, would require the two-thirds vote for changing the rule about two-thirds vote. So I think it actually does put up many more guidelines to keep the legislature's hands off this money for their own personal purposes.
Representative Mahoney.
Again, I will try to honor the maker of the amendment being the last speech, but I strongly support this. If we don't do something with the RDF reasonably, that has a reasonable take to it, we won't do anything to the RDF. The governor has pretty clearly said what he thought about the plans of the chair. So I'm going to strongly support Representative Thiessen's amendment.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the 835 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say no.
No.
The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. The 838 amendment, Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has to do with the housing grants, and it's just responding to some testimony yesterday from the agency that they would like to not just be able to have the authority to not just do grants but also deferred loans. And I just didn't see why we wouldn't give them that option to be able to do it. So that's what it does.
Representative Thiessen, I agree with you, and I think the committee should adopt it. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the 838 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Mahoney, the 822 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw that amendment.
Representative Mahoney withdraws the 822 amendment. Representative Metza, the 833 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to also thank Representative Lehman for being willing to work with me over the weekend here. I think we're still pretty far apart, but in order, I think, to keep negotiations open, the bill before us right now, for the first time, essentially puts local property tax dollars in the purview of the legislature in a much different way than the state has historically done with any other communities. And I think that there is still a chance to reach middle ground before this bill is voted on in final passage on the House floor, and hopefully room to have an amendment that could be supported by the entire Iron Range delegation with the constitutional questions that came in regard to the legislative auditor's report. However, at this time, there are no other communities. For example, Rochester and the Destination Medical Center funding. That is some funding right now that isn't getting any legislative oversight that far exceeds the local funding that we have in property tax dollars at the IRRRB. And just in I guess, good faith to move forward, I'll withdraw this amendment for now in hopes that we can reach a more amiable solution before we reach the House floor and offer something that has unity from our communities. But currently, as it stands, last time I brought this amendment forward, our Range Association of Municipalities and Schools, the very people that this bill affects, are strongly opposed still to the language in Representative Lehman's bill, which is adopted near omnibus bill here, Mr. Chair. But out of respect, again, for today, I will withdraw the amendment and see if we can get it in shape for the House floor.
Thank you, Representative Metza. Representative Metza withdraws the A33 amendment. Representative Clark moves the A36 amendment. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And based on my discussion with you and your recommendation, I'd like to divide the amendment after
from the first 1.1 to down to 1.7 and vote on that first, Mr. Chairman. All
right, so Representative Clark moves that the amendment be divided between line 1.7 and 1.8. It's my determination that is a divisible amendment, and we'll vote pursuant to the motion. Representative Clark will vote on the first section of the bill first. Representative Clark.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, my intention is to then delete the last part, but we'll start with the reason for this amendment. excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I had a bill here in the legislature and requested a hearing in the Department of Human Services that reflected more of what's in the bottom part of the amendment. Basically, we have about 700 children every year in Minnesota who are lead poisoned in our housing. And we have a program at the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency which is available to help with that, but it's not a high priority. They do a number of homes and they do some rental facilities. And what I wanted to do is to indicate that in this existing housing program and with the existing funds, I'd like to have a priority for the first 11 months to be spent on helping our homeowners and small landlords deal with this issue of children who are lead poisoned, either because there's lead poisoning in the paint, in the soil, or in the water. And so, Mr. Chairman, actually there's a vivid amendment, if I could also offer on line 1.6, which is just to delete the word each year. That was at your recommendation as well. So that we say in the first that the money would be available after that. And when I talk to the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, they prefer more flexibility as well. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, I'm bringing this amendment forward because it's such a crisis here in our state that we have these children who are very severely developmentally disabled. One of the people that is in the room here who is a parent who brought this to me has a 9-year-old son who was lead poisoned, a healthy little boy at the age of 10 months. He is now 9 years old and he just learned to put sentences together last year at the age of 8. This is a serious health problem, Mr. Chairman. Some children are hurt more than others, but it's a totally preventable problem. As I did public health nursing years ago, I can tell you we can help parents prevent this. And so I wanted to prioritize this work at our Minnesota Housing Finance Agency for the first 11 months of the funding.
So, Representative Clark, you wish to amend the amendment of the first half of the 836 amendment on line 1.6 to strike the word each year.
Yeah.
And your intent for that is to make this a single appropriation for fiscal year 18. Is that correct?
I guess if that's your advice, Mr. Chairman, that's what I'll do. I'm going to get started on this. I really see it as a pilot program.
Thank you. And so Representative Clark. Yep, and so staff is advising me on line 1.4 that we want to also strike each year from the amendment. Is that your intent, Representative Clark?
Yes, I'll move that.
Okay. So Representative Clark incorporates both those changes into her amendment to the amendment. I'm inclined to support this. I think it's something that merits consideration and further consideration in the conference committee. With that, Representative Clark renews her motion to have House file. Representative Clark, all those in favor of the 836 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. Representative Clark to the second half of the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw the second half of the amendment.
Representative Clark withdraws the second portion of the 836 amendment. Members, the chair has an amendment. That's an oral amendment. I'm inclined to waive the 24-hour rule for this unless there is a strong objection from members of the committee. This has to do with the Rural Agricultural Diversification Act that's in the bill. Right now there's a production incentive for certain aquaculture. And so what it does is on page 65.8, page 65, line 8, it deletes 2030 and replaces it with 2028. And then on page 65, line 16, it replaces the number 5 with the number 3. And the intent of this, members, is that there's been testimony on this, again, the Rural Agriculture Diversification Act. This reduces the size and scope of that incentive so that it is now going to be 3 years in duration as opposed to 5 years in duration. And that is the intent of that oral amendment. Ms. Shalene, do you have any further advice for the chair? Absolutely. So I'll repeat it for staff. Page 65, line 8, change 2030 to 2028. Page 65, line 16, replace 5 with 3. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted.
Before we take up final discussion of the bill, I would move that nonpartisan committee staff be authorized to make any technical changes necessarily to reflect the will of the committee. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those say nay. The motion prevails. And that completes all the amendments we have in front of us. Oh, there is one more amendment, the chair. No, I don't.
Representative
Moran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I am hoping that you can do another wave of the 24-hour cutoff period to do another oral amendment to your bill. And let me just state what it is. And within the omnibus jobs bill, there is, I have a concern that grants under made under the clause must focus on the low-income community, young adults for families with a history of intergenerational poverty, and community of color. Looking at line 17.32, line 17.34, and line 18.1 and 2, I'm asking if you could consider inserting the word women.
So, Representative Moran, first of all, regardless of the motion, if we're going to suspend the 24-hour rules, I would want someone to talk with me in advance of the meeting and then propose to everyone. I'm happy to consider this conversation with you offline, but I don't think we're going to be, unless there's some sort of urgent crisis, I think this is something I'm happy to work with you on as we go to Ways and Means.
Okay, you will consider working. You will work.
Well, I will work with you, and whether you want to or not, I'll work with you on it. So, so no, we will not be waiving the 24-hour rule.
Okay, thank you.
So there are no further amendments. We can go to discussion on the delete DE2 on House File 2209 as amended. Representative Mahoney, you want to give any closing comments before we go to the author?
Mr. Chair, we have almost 45 minutes, so we can make this a long time because we're going to be done by 4:30. You know, I've sat on this committee a long time. You've been the chair of the last, this makes it a third year. Every year the departments have come down and put in... brought a list, wrote it out, signed it at the bottom. I was rather shocked when the last time you had a budget bill, they came up with, I did my numbers a week ago on this, somewhere in the area of 75 objections to the bill. I think you broke that this year, so I'm impressed. Not really. And that's frustrating. When some of them are very, very serious, everything from how you manipulate the job creation fund, the amount of people they can hire, the role they can play in economic development, and that is one of my bigger frustrations. We really don't have a jobs bill here. We have an energy bill with two large projects in western Minnesota, northwestern and western Minnesota, because this is not helping grow our economy. This bill does not move us in that particular direction. We should have taken our time, taken a look at workforce training and what is working, what is not working. We didn't. We should have taken a look at how we can craft the SNF funds or the loans that we do better. We should have taken a look at how workers can get to some of these places. We didn't. I can go on, but I don't really want to. I don't really worry too much about the bill. It's been rolling around in my head all week that it really feels like deja vu all over and like you learned nothing from the last 2 years on your economic development and your energy bill, because this bill has multiple reasons for the governor to just veto it. I think you saw our strategy. We didn't fight over these amendments to any great degree because we kind of know where this bill is going. So we may as well get done with it so that when the governor has the final say. We can come back and actually craft one, not just the lights on bill, not just something that's forced down our throat in a special session because no one can agree at the end of the day. When you start at a place that says to your, and it feels like you're talking to your opponent in this bill, not your colleague in governance, that they've been doing it entirely wrong, there's nothing they've done right, and they have no concept of how this would work, it really doesn't set well to start negotiating from that particular position. And that's frustrating to me, because to me, and I think anybody who's been on this committee for a length of time understands that this committee is about getting people to work, whether it's through job training, through job creation, through helping businesses come to this state. You're not doing it. And the energy, you know, we could argue all day long about which way to go. But it just feels like, and having read, and I can point them out, but what's the point? You're just poking people in the eye with your bill. So I argued for a strategy of not getting in a long, drawn-out fight with you over amendments and trying to fix your bill. Because your bill is relatively unfixable at this particular point. So I'm going to close after that. I could make a bigger and longer and more dramatic argument. People have seen me do it. And I even heard a couple giggles. But it has no point. So, anyhow, good luck with your bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mahoney. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you. Mr. Chair, when I wrote about your bill last year, I titled it The Worst Energy Bill Ever.
Oh, I remember, Representative Wagenius. I remember. I have a copy of that article up in my office, in fact.
Good. So I was thinking about that, what title I was going to put on this bill when I was thinking about writing about it. And when I came into this room, I assumed that I couldn't use that title again. But then I saw your delete, your author's amendment, and I thought, I think he's raised the bar, and I think I could well use that phrase again. However, what I really am thinking about now is what year I'm going to peg that we're taking us back to. And I haven't quite decided that, so if you have some counsel for me, I'd greatly appreciate it.
I think, is that a rhetorical question? Or all right. I see no further Representative Representative Mahoney, then Representative McQuaid, then Mahoney.
Mine's pretty brief, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested, and we'll give it one. Representative McQuaid and Representative Clark and Representative Anderson. Everyone's getting chatty. I should have went to a vote. Representative McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's what you get when you have 45 minutes left.
Yeah.
Well, so I can help out my colleague, Representative Wagenius. I had a name for the bill. It was the Magic Big Government Bill. And it's magic because there's so many policy pieces in here that we never heard before this committee. It's magic. It appeared out of nowhere. No public testimony, no input from any other folks. Magic. And it's big government because, well, I thought I was elected to be a state legislator. I was elected to micromanage city councils and counties and the state administration, how many employees they can have and how much they can make with no understanding or real regard for the work that they do, deep dive into that. So this is a terrible jobs bill because in addition to making more work for just my job, it cuts out small businesses that do solar. Like 500 employees with an estimated double, I think, in the next few years before this program is done. We had small business owners who do solar in front of this committee. That's literally the dream. I can't imagine anything better talking about how they don't know how to plan for 2018 because we're getting rid of Made in Minnesota 3 years into the program. I mean, this is the magic big government bill, and I just, Representative Garofalo, I thought you hated the government. Cutting positions out of government doesn't make it smaller. It makes it ineffective, makes us micromanagers, and it gives us more work to do. So this is, for me, the magic big government bill of micromanaging cities, counties, taking away local control, and the magic policies that we never heard of and this testimony we never got in front of this committee. So I think we all know how I'm going to vote on it, and I think we all know what's going to eventually happen with it. But I would just call for, in the future, more transparency, more work. That's, I like my policy without politics, to be honest with you. And that's why I don't really like this bill.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have to make a comment on the two jobs programs or businesses in greater Minnesota in the bill. The one in Thief River Falls with DigiKey, their projections call for 1,000 new employees. Just a tremendous impact on that part of the state. The other one in southwest Minnesota, that shrimp farming bill, again, has tremendous potential. They've got a patent on this process of raising the shrimp. And in addition to possibly making Minnesota the shrimp capital of at least the United States, their projections call for using Minnesota-grown corn and soybeans and raising the price of soybeans that we farmers get by, I think they said, 5 to 15 cents a bushel. That's huge for the economic impact of agriculture in Minnesota. So those two projects, I salute. They're great projects for greater Minnesota, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, housing is always a small part of this bill. And I guess what I'd like to mostly say is that it's disappointing to have the challenge fund cut back or eliminated in the second year. That's one thing. I guess the other thing is, you know, with the surplus that's out there, I would hope that we could fight for a larger percentage to be dedicated towards affordable housing and housing in workforce areas as you go forward with the Senate. I just want to say that because housing is really the largest expenditures in most families' budgets, so you can give them a job, but if they can't afford the housing, it's still a problem. So I just want to ask you to please think about how we can work harder at that as a committee, and without that in there, it's without the money in the Challenge Fund and some of the other places that we could have worked on more workforce housing, it's just disappointing. But I thank you for the work we did today on the lead bill. I think that's one small glimmer of hope for me, and I'm hoping that as we look at those issues of equity, we can continue to look at housing as a major place where that can happen. Thank you.
Seeing no further. Oh, Representative Baker, my apologies.
Thank you. No, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I guess I want to just a couple closing statements would be, as an employer myself, I think that one of the works of the committee this year wanted to not necessarily create more programs for job creation, but to get out of the way of government, to have less regulations so that folks like I could actually try to hire more people without the assistance of the government. And I think that's not a bad thing. There are some good things in this bill, like the resource and clues and RISE and job training that we've been doing for some time, and those are good things. I appreciate the chair's willingness to hear a lot of testimony and the amount of time it takes to be able to hear a lot of these bills. There were some good projects in rural Minnesota. I'm one of them that wishes we still had more money, though, in broadband. I think that we need to try to fight for that and try to do better for that. I also really want to encourage more resolution to try to work on the small cell grant we talked about today. That's an important part of this, and I hope that our parties will get together quickly and we can get this done yet this year, but we hopefully will give them that care to get that done. So we have a lot of work to do. This isn't a perfect bill, and I haven't seen one yet, right, honestly, to come out of our sessions, the two that I've been here with. So, but I want to thank the chair for dealing with some you know, skinny targets, and we didn't have a lot to do because, you know, there's some other things we could do as well. But I think we did a great job with what we had to work with, and I just want to say thanks to the chair for running another great committee.
Thank you, Representative Moran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I came a little bit late, but I did want to mention that I'm really glad to see the small cell wireless bill portion of this bill out, which was really hurtful for many cities, including St. Paul. But I also want to talk a little bit about the elimination of funding for 7 of the 2016 equity grant programs that kind of like, in a way, funnels those dollars into the Pathway of Prosperity grant program.
But I have a concern with that because really is that the $10 million is a loss of $4.5 million, which was part of the equity grant dollars. But my second concern is that the omnibus job bill also states that grants made under this clause, which I talked about a little bit before, focus on the low-income community, young adults for families with a history of intergenerational poverty in communities of color. But what it leaves out as a priority is women, which I believe should be a focus also. But there's also two of the equity grants that have their individual funding eliminated by this omnibus bill. And the two equity grants that we see eliminated that will not be addressed directly in the Pathway to Prosperity grants is the high-wage, high-demand, non-traditional jobs for women grant program. This was originally a part of the 2014 Women Economic Security Act, and last year, as part of the equity legislation, women and girls of color was added as a priority. I do not see that language. And emerging entrepreneurial grant programs, which provide small business loans to businesses owned by minority and low-income persons, women and veterans, or people with disabilities, has also been eliminated. So my concern is by not including women as a mandatory focus, with the two programs above, be at a disadvantage in receiving funding under the new proposed bundle in regards to the Pathway to Prosperity Grant Program. So I'm hoping as this bill continues to move through the body that you will consider the language that was put into statute around women and girls of color to be added as a priority, and that we also look at the language, again on line 17, 32 and 34 in 18.1 and 2, and add women as a focus area. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Moran. Seeing no further discussion, the chair will offer some closing comments. First of all, as I did the other day, I want to emphasize again to both partisan and nonpartisan staff, thank you for all your work that you put in on this. A lot of late nights and early morning emails, and they really do an incredible job making us all look good. Well, I mean, I look good without that, but still, you know, with that that sort of, it was a joke. It wasn't real. You could laugh. Good Lord.
I would too.
Yeah. No, I do want to thank our staff for all the extra hours and hard work. And, of course, this is, you know, we're kind of beginning this process with conference committee and negotiations. So on behalf of all the members and the general public, partisan and nonpartisan staff, thank you. Thank you very much. A couple issues I want to mention, first of all, is that, Representative Mahoney, something I do agree with you on is the fact that these deadlines, I'm very disappointed at the early deadlines we have. Certainly wasn't my idea, and I think many members of the House would agree with you on that. It does limit our ability of legislative oversight, and I feel like this committee really could have used some extra time to dig more into these items, and I think that's something that as the session goes on, we're probably going to regret that we have these early deadlines, but we'll see how this plays out. A couple of points I did want to rebut from individual members. First of all, Representative Clark, we are not eliminating the Challenge Grant Program or getting rid of it. What we're simply doing is withholding the funding for the second year of the biennium to make sure that the workforce housing changes we're making are actually implemented with the legislature's intent and that they're actually correcting the problem. This is something that we've been dealing with for years, the issue of workforce housing. By withholding the Challenge Grant appropriation in the second year, this gives us confidence to make sure that we can maintain that sort of balance with the executive branch, and I'm confident that once that happens, if we implement these changes, then we'll be back funding that in the second year of the biennium. The second thing is, Representative Moran, with regards to the equity grants, it's very clear. What we've done is instead of having separate competitive grant programs, we've got numerous stakeholder complaints about if a person wanted to help out two separate communities at the same time, they had to have separate competitive grant programs, to the point that I think there were 8 or 9 competitive grants. Now there's actually more resources available because they're able to merge those with the adult competitive grant program as well as the Pathways to Prosperity. So now there's more resources available for those programs. Certainly there's not a carve-out or a set-aside, but those are larger pool of resources available and, again, focused on serving people as opposed to the paperwork that it gets involved in applying. So I suppose members of this committee could oppose this wonderful piece of legislation, but realize that when you're opposing it, what you're taking a stand against, you're taking a stand against job training grants that are given directly to employers in rural areas. As opposed to funding a bureaucracy, it's giving them right to those employers with an unprecedented appropriation. In addition, you're voting against reducing pollution and lowering costs. This bill reduces pollution and lowers electric bills in the state of Minnesota. It doesn't buy into the false trade-off, the false narrative, that you have to pollute more to have cheaper energy, or you got to pay more for cleaner energy. It is cleaner and cheaper. In addition, this bill provides regulatory certainty. It is clear the last couple of years, the Public Utilities Commission has killed billions of dollars in infrastructure projects in their state. In addition, it has been the practice and state law in our state that no more than three members of one political party can belong to the Public Utilities Commission. That law is being broken right now. We restore balance to the Public Utilities Commission with its original intent. In addition, we're funding the Helmets to Hard Hats program so that our soldiers, those who are serving our country, when they come back, we put them right seamlessly into those areas of the workforce we have a shortage, the skilled construction trades. It's a great program, but I suppose you can come out and you can stand up and oppose and be against that. In addition, Representative Barr's provision is in this bill, unclaimed property. Taxpayers, millions of dollars, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayers' money sitting in the bank that government's not notifying them about, holding on to those assets. Representative Barr's provision is in there to literally give people their money back. And I don't mean like tax relief. I mean like it's their money. That provision's in the bill. In addition, we fully fund the Lewis and Clark Water Infrastructure Project in southwestern Minnesota, a commitment to economic development and preserving rural agriculture. Representative Regina Barr's bill in here for the novel conversion of waste to energy. $200 million, a private sector investment for a $700,000 incentive. I suppose you can come out and you can be opposed to that. The wage theft provisions. People are getting ripped off by employers right now. There's a few small bad actors out there, but we think this committee believes that if you're going to rip people off, you need to be punished. So we're adding more enforcement for that. So I suppose you could be against that as well. But last and finally, I think the thing that I'm most proud of with this bill, this is going to mean more jobs, lower pollution, lower energy costs, and it moves Minnesota forward. And that's why I think you should vote for this bill, and that's why I look forward to working with all you going forward. One closing comment is just, we have divided government in our state. At the end of this session, this committee is going to have to work bipartisanly for something to become law. I don't get to choose who I negotiate with. The last 2 years, I actually haven't negotiated with the executive branch. I negotiated with the DFL Senate. I will tell you that as of this point right now, if you were to pin me down, I don't know who I'm going to be closing up this bill with right now. I really don't know. And so if you're a member of the DFL, please don't assume that you are marginalized from this process and you're not involved. Because there's nothing I would like better to make sure that all the stakeholders are at the table to work with on this bill. And we'll see how this session plays out. But again, this is the first step, and I would encourage you to stay active and stay involved. You have more involvement in the minority than you realize. So with that, I renew my motion that House File 2209, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Wales and Ways and Means. A roll call vote being requested. The Committee Legislative Assistant will call the roll.
Garofalo.
Yes.
Neuberger.
Aye.
Mahoney.
No.
Clark.
No.
Wagenius.
No.
Anderson.
Yes.
Barr.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Dabney.
No.
Fabian.
Yes.
Howe.
Aye.
Lehman.
Yes.
Naquaid.
No.
Metza.
No.
Moran.
No.
New.
Yes.
O'Neill.
Yes.
Rarick.
Yes.
Scott. Sundin.
No.
Thiessen.
No.
Vogel.
Yes.
West.
Aye.
There being 13 ayes and 9 nays, House File 2209 as amended passes, and it's on to Ways and Means. Members, that completes our work for this session. Thank you again for all your work. Stay in touch with that. The committee is adjourned.